Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from the Gospel of Matthew,
chapter 11. Now it came to pass, when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah, who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their companions and saying, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We mourned to you, and you did not lament.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is justified by her children." Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." At that time Jesus answered and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive the meekly engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Hearers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a new man, beholding his natural face in a light. He beholdeth himself and goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law, liberty, and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself and goeth his way, straightway forgetting what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed.
Lesson number 11, Jesus' Invitation. In Matthew 11, we shall learn about the judgment that awaits those who do not respond to God's message or messenger. We also have some words about God's messenger, John the Baptist, and an invitation to come to Jesus and find rest for our souls. The chapter begins telling us that Jesus went about the cities preaching. It was God's mercy to man that sent forth Jesus on a rescue mission to call men to salvation. But unfortunately, even with the many great miracles that Jesus did, men still chose to reject Jesus and his message. John the Baptist was put into prison, and perhaps he did not understand why he should be closed up in a prison rather than preaching the word of God. This may be why he was confused about Jesus and his mission, and sent men to ask Jesus if he was the expected Messiah, or should they expect another. Jesus sent word back to John of the many signs and wonders being done by his hand, which would be the evidence to convince John that he was indeed the Messiah. Jesus speaks to the crowds about John the Baptist, and says he was the forerunner to prepare the way for the Messiah, and that of all men he was the greatest one born into the world. He said that John was a prophet and even more. He had a unique privilege of preparing Israel for their coming Messiah by preaching repentance and turning many hearts back to God. Although John was a great prophet, many of the people rejected his message, especially the religious leaders, who said John had a demon. They were glad to get rid of him, because his message of repentance was not popular with them. John lived a simple life and deprived himself of nice clothes and good food. He lived in a manner that reflected the fallen state of man and the rebellion of Israel, humbling himself before God and calling on Israel to repent. Jesus also came among the people after John And he mingled with the sinners and ate with them in order to reach them and save them. When the religious leaders saw this, they were indignant and rejected Jesus as well, saying he was a glutton and wine bibber, that is, one who eats and drinks too much. So even though God sent two messengers, both in a different manner, but with the same message of repentance and faith in God, the proud religious leaders would not submit. Jesus said they were like those who do not dance to the children's music or lament with the mourners. They simply refuse to respond to the message being delivered to them. This is like so many people down through the ages who hear the message of Jesus and salvation, but are too busy or too proud to listen and obey God's message to them. Jesus says to his critics, "Wisdom is proven by her children or what it produces." As Jesus sees the rejection of God's message and messengers, he warns that generation of God's judgment that will fall on them, particularly the cities where he did many signs and wonders. As Jesus performed great miracles, it was evidence of God's working through him and should have been enough to convince the people to repent and believe the gospel message. However, their hearts were too hard, and they rejected him, even though God had sent them a great light to shine into their darkened hearts. Jesus said that if the miracles that had been done in the cities around Galilee by Jesus had been done in other cities like Tyre, Sidon, and Sodom, they would have repented long ago. These cities had formerly been judged by God and were swept away in God's wrath. Jesus is saying that the cities of Galilee had even more reason to believe and repent because of the greater light of Jesus' ministry and miracles. Therefore, he said, these cities of Galilee, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum would suffer a greater judgment than those cities which God had judged in the past. This teaches us something very important from the Word of God, and it is that God will give a different degree of punishment in hell depending on the conduct and works of those condemned. For some, hell will be much more painful because they had greater opportunity to respond to God's mercy, but they refused it. The Bible teaches that in heaven the righteous shall receive different degrees of reward depending on the quality of their service for Christ in this world. And the same principle is also true of the unrighteous in hell. God is just and will ensure that everyone is rewarded according to what they have done and what opportunities they had to turn from their evil ways. Jesus makes an important statement about the revelation of God. He points out that God could not be known except by revelation from God. As Jesus chooses to reveal the Father to us, then we may come to know him. This means we should be so grateful that God in his mercy has chosen to open our blind eyes so that we may know him. This chapter closes with an invitation by Jesus to come to him. All those who are weak and burdened, with a promise of giving them rest. He uses the metaphor of a yoke and sharing it with him, just like two oxen that are joined together and share the same burden. Jesus is willing to take your burdens if you are willing to be joined to him. He says if you do, he promises that the burden will be lightened and the yoke will be easy. Jesus wants you to respond to his invitation to repent of your sins by giving them over to Jesus. He died to bear your burden of sin at Calvary, and all you have to do is acknowledge and believe in him as your Savior, and he will take away all the weight of sin from you, forgive and cleanse you, making you a child of God. Do not be like the stubborn cities of Jesus' day, who had such a great light shining, but turned away in rebellion. Today that light continues to shine through the revelation of the Scriptures, and as you hear God speak in His Word, you will be held responsible for how you respond. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew chapter 11, verse 28.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My burden is light. Matthew 11:28-30. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11:28-30.
And now for today's Bible question. Today we have been learning about responding to God's message and His messenger. And someone might ask the question, how can I tell if someone is God's true messenger? While the religious leaders who heard John the Baptist and Jesus rejected the greatest messengers of all, it is clear they were blinded by their own pride and therefore would never recognize God's Messiah, no matter how many miracles He performed before them. Showmanship and miracle working are not God's preferred method of convincing people, for people will easily argue against such signs and wonders. God will normally speak to us through His Word. God prefers that we listen to His Word, and this is unchanging and can be referred to over and over again. A true messenger of God will always emphasize the importance of God's Word and seek to faithfully and accurately share it, over and above trying to perform signs. Another important way we can tell if someone is God's true messenger is to consider their attitude about and their use of money. Many so-called men of God are nothing more than crooks stealing money from the poor. Christianity was never instituted to make preachers rich, but to bring souls to God. When you meet a man whose goal is to reach and help people with the love of God, and any money he has is simply used for that purpose, it reveals that he is seeking the honor of God and not the honor of men. With this in mind, just think of what the man of God in question wears for clothing, drives as a vehicle, or lives in as a home. Do you see evidence of sacrifice for the work of God? Or is he living for self and his own comfort and pleasure? This can quickly help to determine whether the man is serving God or money. Jesus said that you cannot serve God and money, for you will hate the one and love the other. A true messenger of God will emphasize the Lord Jesus and not himself. Some signboards in front of churches seem to glory in man and exalt the fame of man rather than draw attention to Jesus. Glory belongs to God, and men that steal God's glory are likely not the true messengers of God. I think the greatest thing to look for in a messenger of God is how well he handles the Word of God. If a man has clearly invested his time into careful study of the Word and uses that knowledge to serve the body of Christ and bring glory to Jesus and not man, then the people of God will flock to listen to him, for they know that he is teaching God's Word sincerely and not for wrong motives. Ask yourself, if the messenger that you are listening to resembles the Lord Jesus in his character, in his lifestyle, and in his teaching. If he acts proud, lives in luxury, and teaches self-improvement rather than repentance of sin, then he is not God's messenger, and you should look for a better shepherd to follow and learn from. Jesus said, "Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart." Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the internet, please visit our website at www.bibleassemblychurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says, That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this, Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins, and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life. If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation, or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
I dreamed I went to heaven. You were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold. Beside the crystal sea, we heard these angels singing. Someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man. He was smiling as he came. And he said, Friend, you may not know me now. Then he said, But wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. One day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart.